Please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. That's why I'm preparing some of this, because every time you speak on finances, God will challenge your finance. You speak on marriage, you will get tested on marriage. So I'm speaking on the fruit of the Spirit. We're on this series of God is building our character under construction. We looked at our thought life. We looked at our relationships. You know, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. God uses our relationships to develop our character and who we are. Family, church, everyone else around us, how we respond, how we deal with people. And so one of the most amazing verses you'll find in the Bible is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit. And it's like a cluster of grapes. There's variety in the cluster, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's what God wants to bring into our life. If you were talking in big terms, it's the sanctification. It's that process of God sanctifying us, setting us apart, and we are to set ourselves apart. It's not just we're robots in the process. God says, sanctify yourselves. You know, Jesus called Peter onto the sea, the Sea of Galilee. He said, come. But Peter had to get out of the boat. Peter had to step on the water and start walking. And so when we're talking about sanctification, we're talking about changing our personalities and developing some of these godly virtues, some of this fruit of the Spirit in our life. We're not just sitting there, you know, waiting. We are involved in it. But the other side of it is, it's not a legalistic thing. And I got to kind of put this in place before we get there, where you just beat yourself up and say, you know what, I don't have love, I don't have patience, No, none of us do. And what God is requiring of us, He is the one who empowers us to do. He's the one who gives us the ability to do it. He doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the call. You've heard all these things over and over and over. So we can relax this morning in a sense that, you know, as Sue shared it this morning, we can't fix ourselves, but God can. But we must put ourselves in that position of praise, that position of submission, that position of walking with God, that He has the opportunity and His Holy Spirit is allowed to work in our lives. Some of us have got out of the boat and we're on the water and we're like, all we're seeing is the waves and whatever. And we just need to look to Jesus and say, help me. And the beautiful thing is when Peter cried out to Jesus, Jesus took his hand and he immediately was in the boat. And so when we get stressed out, and we heard that in the prayer meeting this morning, when the bumps of life come, we have hope in God. We have a future in God, and we have a hope in God that He is with us in the storm. He is walking through this journey with us. So let's read a couple of verses. In chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 16 just to set the context of what Paul is writing. It says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, big S, Spirit, Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and we should all have these memorized, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So just a couple of comments. First of all, it's through the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit that this sanctification process is even possible. And we commit ourselves to be part of that. The other thing is the flesh and the Spirit are opposed to each other. They're exactly opposite. And that's why there's this battle that rages. That's why we have spiritual warfare. That's why we need the helmet of salvation. That's why we need to put on the armor of God. It's not because there's this, only because there's these principalities and powers outside, but here in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our minds, we have a battle with this flesh. This flesh desires things that we know are not wrong, and we know are wrong, and we know that are not helpful and are hurtful and destructive. And the flesh keeps rising up. And you've heard me say it again and again. You know, I've crucified the old Leonard. And that's, quit smiling out there. It's like, when I get to that airport, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Keep him on the altar. It's like the flesh keeps wanting to rise up again and oppose what God wants to do in our lives. So you're in a battle whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. And we are not to just sit back passively. We have a free will, just for your sake. We can choose. God gives us that power to choose life, to choose to serve God, to choose to submit our members, to yield our members to God, to allow the Holy Spirit to come and rule and reign in our life. R.T. Kendall used to always preach on the life of the ungrieved spirit. We have the opportunity. Jesus lived in the ungrieved Holy Spirit continuously. He flowed and moved in the gifts and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit was evident. Everything we're talking about this morning, I'm going to talk about in a minute, is simply becoming like Jesus. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's Jesus being manifest in us. As he's born, as we're born again, as he comes to live inside of us by his Holy Spirit, he starts to manifest himself. And that spirit life wrestles with our flesh. And the flesh cringes sometimes. The flesh is not happy to yield and wants to have its way. And we must submit our members. We must submit our thoughts. We must submit our life. And I'm still on the introduction, and we have an opportunity to get into the Word of God, to get into a place of prayer, as I said at the beginning, and I touched on it, to put yourself in a position where God can do something in my life. You don't have to. Nobody can force you. Nobody can come and jump all over you this morning and wrestle you down and say, okay, here's the peace of God. But God is willing to put the peace of God, literally is what it means, the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the kindness of God, God in us. And he's willing to do that, and he's willing to see that fruit born out in our life as we submit our members to him, as we commit ourselves to him. And that's why I was saying last week in our relationships, we need each other. We need to take control of our thoughts, because this is where the battle happens. We need each other to challenge each other, to iron sharpening iron, coming together to, you know, and sometimes the people you hurt the most are the people that are closest to you, because some guy on the road out there, he's not going to hurt me, but someone close to me, and they say something, and that's when we need to guard our hearts and guard our thoughts and guard our relationships with one another. And God is developing virtue in us, personality, character, integrity, whatever term you wish. And so now the fruit of the Holy Spirit is this. Paul goes on and he starts writing it about it, and he says, number one is love. So I'm only going to make a comment about each of them. There's 9 of them, so you know how many points I have. Some may be longer than others, so you never know when we'll get done. Love. And I didn't put a, nobody ever appreciates my PowerPoint, so I'm not making it anymore. No, I'm just, see, love. You have. I'm testing to see if you have that prut of love. The South African, my friend, always used the pruts of the Holy Spirit. Love. The high esteem which God has for his human children, the high regard which they, in turn, should have for him and other people. It's the high regard, it's the esteem that he's talking about, that God has for us, and that we are to have for him. And all I want to say about love, because we've preached lots about it, and we could talk about it, but love is kind of, it's number one for a reason, but it kind of flows into everything else, and you'll understand in a minute when I get there. But that high esteem that God has for us, we are to have that for one another. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot love like God loves without God's help. You cannot love me without God helping you. Amen? Ha-ha. And I have to love you. But we can, with God's help. We can esteem one another. We can care for one another. We can love one another. Honestly, truly. Warts and all. With the way we are. The way everything we are. And it's not like excusing. You can, you know, in a marriage, you can't just keep excusing a husband that's just a brute all his life. No, he's challenged. But you can love you can make a decision. And the thing about the fruit, all of these fruits, it's up to us to allow that fruit to have evidence, to take place, that sanctification process to happen in our lives. No one else can do it for us. And often, this is one point I need to make, it's God does it without changing the circumstances, without changing people around us. God changes us. And he says, you're going to have to love when there's no reason to, when there's nothing coming back. And God loved us that way. And so the first point is God's love is impossible except for God loved us that way. And when his love changes us, that love can flow through us to care for people and to love people. So that's the only way we have hope, is that the fruit of the Spirit is literally that. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. And what changed my life when I was 15 and I had a whole worldview, and I could spend my whole day on that this morning, was my brother coming home, changed by the power of God, changed. Like, not trying to be different, changed. Like, I'm like, who is this guy? Whatever happened to him, whatever he's got, I want. And the love of God hit me. I wished I still had, I couldn't find that little black Bible. I have this little paperback King James Bible. It's the first Bible my brother ever, it's the first Bible I ever had. My brother gave it to me, and he said, read this. And it was John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. And the first time in my life, I understood something of the love of God, what the love of a father was, what God's love was. And that's translated into my whole life. Am I the greatest lover in the world? Yes. God's love never stops. It just keeps working in us and flowing through us. And when we don't have any, if we'll just take a moment and yield and say, God, love this person through me. Help me to understand this. God can change the hardest heart. And he does. The second one, as I said, I don't know how long I'll spend on, was joy. All I want to say about joy, the definition, the happy state that results from knowing and serving God, that deep, abiding, inner rejoicing in the Lord. My old Bible school teacher used to say this, undergirding, overriding joy. Undergirding, overriding joy. Nothing to do with circumstance. Happiness happens to deal with happenings. Joy is something of God, something that's under everything, beneath everything, carrying everything, and over everything is the joy of the Lord. I don't know how to explain it. It's the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord changes things. I put it this way, you can take it for what it's worth, but joy is love laughing. See, I got one of those for each of this. Peace is love resting, so on. But joy is love laughing. I love people that laugh. I like people that make me laugh. A lot of people don't make me laugh. I used to laugh a lot more. My wife married me because I was funny. And then she's wondering, what happened to that guy? There's just something about the joy of God, rejoicing in God, the hilarity of God. It's you know, you do a Bible study on rejoicing. You do a Bible study on joy. It's not just some, you know, that I've done the fake smile teeth thing. It's a joy of God. It's laughter that comes out of your life. My kids make me laugh. I love humor. I love when people are sarcastic. I know it's not all good, but we're like the champions of sarcasm, but I love it. I love when there's humor, and I love when you know what I love about this church is when a couple of times when I haven't been here, that's what I love. No. I spoke somewhere else in the city, and I came back to be here just as the service ended. And I get outside in the parking lot, and it sounds like there's a riot. I'm serious. Have you ever walked in here when the fellowship time is on? I mean, when you're in here, you can't hear anything anyhow. But coming from outside, I thought, oh, something's happened. Like I thought, and it's just life. That's the joy of God. Is everything in life joyful? No, it's not. But there is a sweetness when you have the joy of God. And I don't want to preach this all morning, but I can't leave it. Some of my other points are weaker, so I'll stay on the stronger one. But like, I have met people who have faced death, who have faced I mean, some of you, I got to be careful where I look, things that you've gone through, the way people have treated you, ex-husbands and stuff and people and accusation. I don't understand, abuse and stuff that's happened. And yet there's a joy of God in their life. There's a sweetness of God. And they just carry on and they sing and they come to church and it's amazing. To me, that's the power of God. And it's not just when life is good and when everything's happy and we're all jumping. It's when life isn't. And there's just this undergirding joy and delight in God. I will see God in the land of the living. I always remember Boniface and Happy. May God bless them today in their services. Calvary Revival service goes on today. But, his daughter dying of cancer and beating it. And his trust in God that he will see the Lord in the land of the living. We have a hope in God. No matter what comes our way in this life, we have hope in God. And Paul says, one of those fruits is joy. Do you have joy this morning? Are you walking in something of it? We can't work it all. It's not like we work it up, but we can put ourselves in a place where we said, you know what? I'm going to rejoice in God this morning. I'm going to wake up this morning. My back's killing me, Selma, but I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to love him. And this flesh is going to be quiet. This flesh is going to praise God. It's not my nature. It's not my style, praise God. It's like, kill that flesh. I love when the Holy Spirit comes on people who are reserved and are quiet and they can't stay reserved and quiet. The snot starts to run and they're crying. Jeez, it's like, I love it. I heard one bank teller said, I don't see people smiling anymore. I don't think I need to spend a lot of time on the negative side of life. I just want to encourage you that we realize God can transmit his divine quality right up and into our personality. God desires to bring a change in us, who we are. He's talking about change of character and our character under construction. There's parts of us that need to change, and God is busy doing that. And I've shared it many times with different ones, but, they're going through a hard time, and it doesn't sound very encouraging, but, this might be the easiest time you'll ever have in your life. Some of the ladies in my world, I won't mention my immediate family. They love it when I say, this is probably be the lightest you ever are in your life. And they're complaining about weight. Really encourages them a lot. But what if this today was the best season of your life? Maybe tomorrow, health issues, tomorrow, finance, tomorrow, what are you going to do? Lay down and die? You're going to go depressed, go into your house and never come out? You got to make a choice. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to rejoice today. I don't know about tomorrow. I can't do nothing about yesterday, but I have today, and today the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is going to get me through this day, and I'm going to make the most of this day. My wife put a great big poster on our closet about happiness and joy and how to keep it, and one of them is you're about as happy as you have a mind to be. What's your decision? What's your choice? You're going to trust God and say, God, allow the Holy Spirit to come into my life today. I'm going to rejoice today. I have food. I have health. I have warm furnace blown heat into my house. When we lay in bed and thank God, I don't come up with 50 like RT does in his journal. He was much more organized to get 50 things to be thankful every morning. But I thank God every day when I hear the furnace kick in and my house is warm. It's like, thank you. I can be thankful for that. Would I rather live in the tropics? Of course not. Do you have joy this morning? Do you laugh? Do you rejoice? Do you praise God? Third one, peace. Love at rest, a sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God and is dependent on his presence. The inner tranquility and the poise of the Christian whose trust is in God through Christ. Tranquility, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. It's not the absence of problems or the absence of stress, but it's a tranquility in it. It's Jesus. Like if I took, example of love, well, it's Jesus. If you take an example of joy, well, it's Jesus. Amen? It's Jesus living out his life. If you think of peace, it's Jesus in the boat, asleep in the storm. It's a peace that surpasses understanding, so the Bible says. Do you have it? Do you have that tranquility? You see, these things are the fruit of the Spirit. Some of them are easier, more evident. Some are tried a little harder. Some seem to fluctuate more. But when you meet someone who's got the peace of God in their life, that fruit is evident in their life, man, there's just something attractive about that. All of these fruits, actually, if I'm honest, all of them are like magnets to the world, to people. You meet someone who's got joy. You know, Abraham Lincoln used to always say, if you got two equally qualified, I knew him, I lived back in that day. He used to say it quite often, but if you have two equally qualified people, always hire the happy guy. Huh? Something about peace in someone's life. How are you today? I'm trying, hallelujah. It's like, see you later, buddy. It's like, I'm out of here. Something about the fruit of the Spirit that just is a magnet. It's like, what is that? It's like our neighbor in Dodoma looking through the fence and getting saved because she watched our lives. It's a true story. That was a scary one, but must have saw Lori more often than me. What's your life? What you know, someone's describing your life. Are you agitated? Are you depressed? Are you scared? Are you lonely? What's the fruit? What's the evidence of life in you? Do you have that peace? And I'm not trying to put heavies on you. I'm saying it's possible. It's available in God. When we put our trust in Him, when we can just lay back in Him in the middle of the storm and go to sleep and trust Him. And, you know, we're in good company when we're not sleeping, because the disciples with Jesus in the boat, they're just flailing around. Finally, they're just like, don't you see we're dying here? And He's got to get up and rebuke the storm. So don't beat yourself up, but there's peace available to us. There's a tranquility that God wants to have in us. And it's beyond our understanding. Like, if you've been in circumstances where you should be the most freaked out in your life, and God's peace comes into your heart, you know what I'm talking about. And I've shared the story of Lori and I going through Uganda back in 82, and it was insanity, and the very first bridge we came to, hundreds of soldiers jump out of the grass, and they're all screaming, they got their guns in their face, and they're banging on my brand new car, and they're saying, get out, and we're both out, and it's like, this is death. And the peace of God came in my heart. And the courage of God. And all I can remember saying, and these guys are, you got to understand, you're middle of no man's land, and people are being shot every day. And I'm sitting there, and I just said to Lori, close the door. It's like, they're going to shoot us, we're going to die with dignity here. We're not animals in the middle of the bush, even though that's what it feels like. And there's just something about God's peace come in my life. And I've seen it many, many times. And what happened in that moment is, by God's wonderful grace, I looked across. Dozens of these screaming guys, and screaming, and they're freaked out because their commanders are freaked out because the guys were sleeping when we drove by, and they didn't. It's just escalating, just insane. And my eyes came across a general or whatever they are. They had four of these stars, four pips, as they say in South Africa. And I just looked at him, and I started to speak in Swahili, and I said, Samahani mze, hatukuju. God just gave me the words, and this general guy was looking for anything, and he just calmed down the whole crowd. Yeah, and then they wanted all our stuff and all our money and all our cameras, and if we ever came back again, they wanted her sister to marry them and a few other things, but everything got calm. I'm telling you, the peace of God surpasses understanding. In the middle of anything. I could tell you story after story, and I trust that you've tasted some of it. And if you're in a storm right now today, I'm telling you, supernaturally, the Spirit of God can come, and peace can come. He'll speak to that storm. He does it. That's what the Spirit of God does. And inside here, He may not change anything. You may be in a hospital room. You may be facing debt problems. Nothing out there might change, but in here, it changes. And that's what he does. It's a fruit that comes from our life. Got to move along. Patience, long-suffering. We all know how easy that one is. I call it love waiting. Men in a dress shop waiting for their wives. That patient, endurance, steadfastness, and forbearance. Forbearance under suffering. It has to do with while suffering as well. And endurance in the face of adversary. Ability to endure persecution and ill treatment. All I want to say about it is that God operates in a much longer and slower time frame than we are used to operating in. We're in a fast-paced world. Here's the only thing I'll say about it. Jesus was patient with you. Jesus was patient with me, and he is. So God, give us that grace, that gift, that charisma, that gift of patience, forbearance. Forbear with one another. Forbear in circumstance. To wait out in trials when things are going wrong, to have patience. And you know, as I said, some of these fruits are more evident and some are more up and down. And this is one of those ones that tends to dissipate quickly. Patience. Do you have it? Do I have it? Five is kindness. I call it love serving, love in action. Goodness of heart, serviceable, good, gracious, pleasant, love for mankind. Think, you know, I could go on with the definition, but think of what a kind word and kind action do for other people. Think of Jesus feeding 5,000. This one, kindness and goodness, which is the next one, which I'll touch on, but these are more in-depth ones that kind of define who people are. Some of the others, patience and that joy, they can come and kind of float around a bit, but kindness and goodness, these are kind of who people become. And if you think of people in your world, you can think of good people. They don't change. They don't fluctuate. They're not up and down, and they are solid. Amen? That's a fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit of God in us. Some have more natural ability, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about supernatural. I'm talking about the Spirit-led life, the life of someone who becomes a good person and stays that way. They're just good. And if you think of them, they're just kind. They're just good. I'm doing both of them, if you notice. You think of it, it's the goodness of God in our life. It's the kindness of God flowing through our life. And some are amazing channels of that. And I'm saying, God, let us all be channels of that. Let us all be settled in our walk, not up and down, you know, one day good, one day not good. It's like kindness and goodness is that fruit that just settles in and lasts. Amen? Do you have it? Here's how I wrote it. The particular quality has a real drawing power to it. Not only does the goodness of God draw people direct to him, but this fruit of goodness operating in a believer can also draw people direct to God through the actual believer, through us. Not only is God good, but we are good. Not only is God kind, but we are kind. It's not a gift that wavers like some of the other qualities can do. These people are good down to the very core of their personalities. You can see it and feel it when you get around these type of people. God help us. Are we good people? You know, I've said it many times. It's great to be, you know, you say, I love you with the love of the Lord. But are you kind? Are you good to your socks? Are you kind? Are you a kind guy? Are you a good person? That's what God is working into our lives. And if it takes a lifetime, he's not going to quit. He's going to keep building character. That was 6 and 7. Or no, 5 and 6. Number 7 is faithfulness. I call it love on a cross. I don't know what, you know, if peace is love resting, faithfulness is what? Love. Come on, help me out here. Yeah, love enduring. Yeah, not bad. But it's right because, you know, I said love on a cross. It's Jesus on the cross. He stayed the course to the end. He could have called 10,000 angels. You know, I could have wrote a song like that. He stayed on the cross. He was faithfulness. It's fidelity which makes one true to his or her promise and faithful to the task. Steadfast, dedicated, dependable, and worthy of trust. No turning back. That's a faithful person. We need it. We need this more than anything. Faithfulness with God, faithfulness with our family, faithfulness in church. The last one is self-control. The love of discipline, or love disciplined. I don't know. Love under control. Do you have self-discipline? This is a huge one, and I could spend the whole morning, and I'm not. I'm done. This, once you start to enter into a true sanctification process with God, expect that the Holy Spirit will move on you very early in this specific quality, because we go back to our text, the flesh wars against the Spirit. We need self-control. That's why I'm saying you have a choice to make. You have a choice and a decision as Peter getting out of the boat. You're not a robot, all of that. You have a decision to make. I am going to allow God to have control of my life. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to rule in me today. I'm going to close this mouth. I'm going to close my thought. You say, well, how do we get better at that? Well, I've already talked about it, but we have to now get into the Word of God. What does God's Word say how we should act or live? What is God's Word saying about the flesh? What is God's Word saying about these activities? What is God's Word saying about how we speak and how we think and how we are? And bring ourselves under that control, self-control, to say, I'm going to live under the Word of God. I'm going to live under the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to me. He's a person. Holy Spirit, live in me. Help me to understand what it means to live a Christian life. I cannot do it on my own. I cannot live the way God wants me to live without surrendering to the Holy Spirit. We need Him, and we need His ability to live this life. So, you know, my friend always used to say it, and I'll say it this morning, for those who love conference, and I'm going to speak at a conference, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But, you know, you got folk who love to run from one conference to another. Whoo, did you hear about that one? My friend always used to say, you know, and they'd come back, kind of the charismatic, I'm a charismatic, but they'd come back, you know, God was all over me. And his answer to them would always be, so, well, then how's your sex life? You know, who cares if God was all over you at a conference if you don't come home and it doesn't translate into something good in your marriage, in your life, in your home, in your character, in your fruit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is the sign of maturity. It's the sign of Christ-likeness. It's the sign of growing up. Not the gifts of the Spirit. Those are for power. Those are for ministry. Those are to accomplish things in the kingdom of God. A brand new born-again believer can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is maturity. It's fruit. It's coming out of their life, and it's lasting, and it's got to be there for lifetimes. And it, as God works it into us, it's a fruit of His Spirit, and it's evident, and people see it. You know, I've often said, I'm a charismatic. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Trust me, I'm not against it. I want more of it in our life. But show us the fruit. Show the fruit of your life. It doesn't matter if you can speak in tongues, Paul says, and, you know, you can do amazing things. He says, show me some fruit in your life of the Spirit of God. And so I want to encourage you this morning that this fruit is the test of our sanctification. This fruit in our life is the test of our maturing in Christ. And Paul says, if we will walk in this Spirit, and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He says, we fulfill the law. We accomplish the law by accident. So it's not a bunch of rules. You can't do this and you can't do that and stop doing this. And not what I'm saying here this morning. It's not what Paul's saying. But he says, as we yield ourselves, as we walk in the Spirit, we fulfill the law. We live way beyond the law. We don't have to worry about being put in jail because we're not murdering. We fulfill the law automatically. When we just submit and surrender ourselves to God, His purposes are fulfilled in our life. And it relates back to what I said last week, is that when God is most glorified, when we are most satisfied in Him, when we just put ourselves in the place where God can work through us and in us, He's glorified. People see in our life and they're like, man, there's something about their life. There's a peace there. What is it? Why does that person have joy? What? I'm suspicious. There's nothing funny going on here. But they have a joy in their life. They have a love. They have a self-control. They have a kindness. They have a gentleness. They walk in something better of God. So will you pray with me this morning that God would come and move in us and work in us, and that at the same time we would do what we have to do? What is it God's put His finger on in your life this morning that He's saying, I want that in your life? Then cooperate with Him. Yield that part of your life to Him. Say, God, teach me patience. And patience coming is going to come in the hardest circumstances there are. Teach me. Teach me what it means to love. Get ready, because you're going to meet the first miserable guy as you go out the door, and God's going to say, okay, love this guy. In the fellowship hall over here. It's going to get tested before I get to the chair. The joy of the Lord in my life and in your life. And so let's pray.